Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we want to welcome here on this Freedom Friday to the Montana Talk studios, Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, welcome to the Montana Talk studio. Oh, wait, George Blackard. George Blackard, welcome to the studios. I don't know how I fumbled that one.
Well, I don't know. You know, I've misidentified. I was trying to think of something like misgendered, but I misidentified, I guess.
Oh,
like
I'm sure that, you got misgendered in basic training. Get over here, Nancy.
Yeah, I was called a lot of things in basic training. You know, which is funny, Aaron, because I don't think they can do that anymore.
Probably not. I don't think so.
You know, when I was in basic training, they could still hit you, though. So it was a lot different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, I don't know if you probably got the inside joke there, but yeah, Joe Biden did his big boy press conference yesterday, and he introduced Zelensky as Putin.
Boy, how do you screw that one up?
Oh, man.
They're both out to kill each other, and you call you by the other one's name?
Oh, man.
That's a little more than a faux pas. That's just messed up.
Well, especially this was his big moment to prove that he's still with it.
Yeah.
And then he instead of referring to Kamala Harris as his vice president, he referred to Vice President Trump. And it was just like the hits just kept on coming.
Well, you know, we've talked about this for months, and I predicted months ago that after the first debate, that's when things were going to change. And I still believe that. I don't know.
That's right. You did. Yeah.
I don't know if he will withdraw himself, if they'll force him out, because it doesn't look like he's going to withdraw himself. But I'm going to still leave that one open because it may come to the point where suddenly, because of whatever reasons, you know how they do it, family reasons or whatever, he could withdraw. But I still believe they'll replace him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting. Because it's like, we're trying to figure out exactly what they're doing because, you know, a lot of the media now just tried to say, oh, no, he did fine yesterday. I mean, they set the lowest of low expectations for him heading into the big boy press conference. So some on MSNBC, some on CNN were like, oh, no, he actually did pretty good. Yeah, he's doing okay. And then there's more and more Republicans are like, no, let's just keep Joe Biden
in
there.
That's what I'm saying right there.
Yeah,
I don't know why the Democrats don't just go ahead and jump to this. But, I mean, look, he's lost. He's losing everybody. He's losing the media. He's lost Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, George Clooney, all these big name people that were always on his side in his camp, and now they just can't stick with it anymore. They can't ride that horse anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting. And then I don't know if you saw the video. I'll play the audio after this because I mentioned it but didn't air it yet in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But John Tester, I've got two different. I've got a Fox News update where they actually found him and asked him a question on camera, and he refused to answer the question. And then another guy tried to question him at the airport, and his staffer was like trying to stiff arm this guy.
Well, he's getting a lot of attention.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. So I'll play both of those audio clips, get George's reaction and more right after this. And then I think we got a caller on the phone lines here, 406-294-0970.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Something alarming unfolded around July 4th on Capitol Hill, inside the Cannon House office building. Someone vandalized an exterior wall of the office belonging to Democratic Illinois Representative Brad Schneider. Schneider called this a, quote, vile act of hate, where someone ripped down photos posted to the walls of 100 people being held hostage in Gaza. Some of the posters were strewn about the floor in front of Schneider's office. Other posters were crumpled or peeling from the wall, still half attached. Contrary to some of his Democratic colleagues, Schneider welcomes a visit to Capitol Hill later this month by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to deliver a speech to a joint meeting of Congress. This incident comes just days after pro-Palestinian demonstrators rallied outside Schneider's home in Highland Park, Illinois, in the middle of the night. Some members of the public were in the Capitol complex as guests or aides of lawmakers for the July 4th concert on Capitol Hill. Others who work at the Capitol, ranging from aides to custodians to maintenance personnel, have 24/7 access to the complex. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Sunny skies, hot temperatures near 100 degrees, west-northwest winds 5 to 10. Tonight, a slight chance for rain showers late, partly cloudy skies and a low of 66 degrees. Saturday, we'll see plenty of sunshine, another hot day with highs near 101 degrees, 100 and sunny on Sunday. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Mandy Fell.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's start with a phone call. We've got Tim in Billings on the phone lines, and he wanted to weigh in on this very topic that that George and I have been, yeah, almost called him Vladimir, that George and I have been wanting to talk about here this morning. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Freedom Friday. And since it is a Freedom Friday, I think Democrats should have the freedom to live with the consequences of their choices. Joe Biden was their choice for president, and then they've chosen to embrace these DEI policies and ideals and painted themselves into a corner as to what in the heck would they do with Joe Biden once the train's off the rails, because the train is off the rails. I don't want him removed. I want them to suffer every little moment of this leading up until Inauguration Day in January, because maybe if they feel enough pain from their poor choices, they'll figure out that that is just a horrible, horrible way to make decisions on how you lead companies and how you lead a country. And I know that we're all along for the ride, but we've been suffering for 3.5 years anyway. I mean, I think we can make it another 6 months. But I want them to feel every bit of angst and anxiety and pain for the next 6 months over their poor choices.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from, and I think there's more conservatives and everyday folks who are saying that exact same thing. It's like, nope, just, you know, instead of... You know, I think the Trump campaign did a brilliant thing. You notice how Donald Trump stayed pretty quiet for a few days there, with the idea being that, hey, if your enemy is drowning, don't throw him a rope. And so, but now I think they're thinking, hey, maybe it's time to throw a little bit of a rope to Joe Biden to keep him in there. Not that they're afraid of Kamala Harris, but I think at this point, you know, Donald Trump is leading in all of the polls, battleground polls. I mean, he could win states like New York even potentially at this point. And so, in fact, our friend Greg Franks, who's got the Summit Cigar Lounge, he got published by the AmericanThinker.com, have Democrats overdone it on the Biden angst. And he makes that point that basically you know, because Republicans and the conservative media are so desperate to finally hear the echoes of what they have been saying for the last 4 years, that now they're willing to allow just about anything to take place for their candidate to win. But his broader point was basically this. The Democrats know they can't win with Joe Biden. They also know that they will lose with the logical replacement, Kamala Harris. So they must create this chaotic scenario over here to distract the nation and their adversaries, while over there they are actually getting done what they want. So I think that's an interesting take. George, your thoughts?
Well, I think there are a lot of Republicans that do want Joe Biden to be the candidate because they believe that they can, that Trump can beat him pretty handily. And they're a little nervous of somebody else they might throw in there that would generate some excitement, because right now you have a lot of people that would vote for Biden that's like, no, voting for Trump, because we just can't keep going down this road. But if they throw a new candidate in there, they could easily swap back over and go, yeah, I'm voting for them because they're the Democrat. So it's a weird situation to be in. But I think for Republicans, I think they want Joe Biden to stay there.
Well, and even with a Kamala Harris, the Pravda media, the Soviet-style state-run media, they will do everything that if it ends up being her, they will do everything they can to totally change her image. And it would be such a carefully crafted image. They will stop showing her cackling. They will tell her, do not cackle. They won't talk about how she was the border czar as our nation has been invaded by terrorists and people from 170 plus different countries. They will create a Camelot, you know, oh, look at the savior to rescue us from Joe Biden. These guys are just as responsible for his failures as he is.
Well, I think I've heard a lot, and this is just, you know, the rumor mill, but there's talk that if she does become the candidate, that a lot of information about her is going to come out that isn't common knowledge right now, and in an effort to torpedo her. But I don't know. I don't know that she is a good person to replace him or not. I think they, you remember, Barack Obama came out of nowhere. He was a first term senator. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody had ever heard of him, and he became president. And it's, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
Yeah. So we were talking about how John Tester is just panicking. Here he is. He now has a young staff member escort him to the airport to try to stiff arm anybody who might ask him, an easy question, frankly.
Senator Tester, do you think Joe Biden is mentally fit to be president?
Sir, I'm the Senate's president. Can I give you my business card?
You may, but I got a question for him.
Can you get in touch with our press office?
He's right here. Senator Tester, do you think that Joe Biden is mentally fit to be president?
I can get you something.
You think he's mentally fit to be president?
If you could just take this, here's the card.
Thank you.
Tester refuses to answer, but if you actually watch the video, you can see this, the staffer getting in this guy's face, John Tester weaving around the terminal to try to dodge the video, and just the look of sheer anger and bitterness on John Tester's face. You got to watch it. Listen to this Fox News report. They actually got him on camera, and he refused to answer the question.
Now, things are getting really awkward here on the Hill. People are either sidestepping our questions or basically running away from us whenever we ask about Joe Biden. Watch.
Hey, do you believe that President Biden can win in November?
I refer you to my statement. A statement I put out a couple days ago still applies to today, still applies to everything.
I'm hearing legitimate concerns from Ohio voters.
Yeah, anyway, there you go. You can hear it. I refer you to my statement. Well, talk about profiles and courage. We'll get George's take on that and much more right after this. Freedom Friday, Montana Talks.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Biden botched the first question at his hour-long news conference last night, describing Vice President Trump as his VP, not Kamala Harris. But he did display a tremendous mastery of foreign policy. I've never doubted that. And I think most people watching felt he acquitted himself quite well. I also would fault the White House correspondents because when it came to pressing him about can you win and why aren't you stepping aside and how do you reassure people, they would ask three other questions and he would mostly be able to talk about his record as opposed to his chances of winning. Now, the president was careful to be not so defiant, to say maybe other people could beat Donald Trump, to say that he was listening to other voices. But by and large, this is the president's job. If he did this more often, there wouldn't be all this drama about it. But certainly, he didn't fail as badly as some feared he might. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordland.
Grain prices have plummeted to their lowest since COVID-19, extending this year's losses to 17%, according to Bloomberg. University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin warns that falling prices could mean substantial financial losses for corn and soybean producers. Irwin highlights the combination of rising expenses and significant price drops, with corn losses potentially surpassing $200 per acre and soybean losses reaching $98 per acre.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
Over 309,000 head of cattle selling this week on Spear Livestock's Week in the Rockies sale. Montana steer calves weighing 4.5 to 500 pounds on the sale, bringing $3.33 up to $3.75. 5 to 5.5 weights, 318 up to 364. 5.5 6 weight steers, 279 to 344. All from Montana on that Superior sale. I'm Lane Northlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George, put my phone down. I was like, where's my phone? I had my cell phone over to George because George hadn't actually watched the video of John Tester running from that camera. So you heard the audio and then you saw the video. What was your thoughts after both?
You know, I don't have your phone.
Oh, really? Mine's over here. I put over it on there. The charger. See, I'm getting old. See, there I'm you go. I'm calling you Putin.
Well, a couple things. One, I mean, he was booking through there almost as fast as he was running down the stairs in that one video, you know, from last year.
Yeah.
But the fact that he didn't just answer the question, that was a simple question.
Yeah.
Do you think he's capable, you know, or healthy enough to be president? And he could have just said what he said on the record a few days ago.
In the prepared statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them, and I'm not sure which one that guy was referring to, his press secretary, but he could have just said, look, Joe Biden needs to prove to me and the American people that he's capable of doing the job.
Yeah.
That's all he had to say.
That's what his prepared statement said. But even that, I don't think flies with the people of Montana because I think the people of Montana are like, oh, so you're still standing with Joe Biden.
They're getting used to him lying to us. And look, he has been on the record as saying that Joe Biden is fit. I've talked to him. You know, I'm summarizing. I'm not quoting him exactly. I've talked to him. He is fine. He can do the job, right?
100% with it was the actual quote.
Yeah, 100% with it. That's exactly right. And then, you know, that's what he said. Well, then he comes out and he makes it sound different by saying Joe Biden needs to prove to me and the American people he's fit. Well, that's not going against his 100% statement, but it kind of sounds different, right? It sounds different because, well, he has to prove to me. Well, that's not saying that he's not, right? But that's what John Tester does. He uses word jujitsu to make things sound
well and
different.
And look, I've worked on campaigns, so I know the ins and outs of this stuff. They put out a prepared written statement for a reason. They don't want audio of him actually saying it. They don't want video of him actually saying it. So that's right. Why even when Fox News cameraman was in front of him, he says, I refer you to my prepared statement, because he's too chicken and cowardly to say what his staff actually put in his little prepared statement.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we know that he votes with Joe Biden, what, 95% of the time, something like that?
And then the other 5% is when it really doesn't matter.
When he doesn't vote. Yeah. Right?
Or when
he just refuses to vote. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, he goes from that, and then he puts out a video. I stand up to Joe Biden. I always have for the people of Montana, blah, 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 which is all baloney. He's a party guy. He votes what the party tells him to do. Whatever Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi tell him to do is what he does. And he can say that he votes for Montanans all he wants to, but we all know it's not true. And I'm telling you, people out there, you're going to see these commercials with him and some people wearing veterans hats, and trust me, he hasn't done squat for veterans for a long time.
Oh, well, let me tell you what, I saw one of these veterans for Tester that's bashing Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy. I went off. Well, luckily I wasn't on the air when I first saw it, because I'm like, oh, I know who this guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a nice enough guy. I mean, you know, he's definitely a left winger, you know, but still a nice guy. I mean, we respect everybody who's served and wore the uniform. But here's what ticks me off, George. I know this guy. And I remember going through the half rack in Helena when I was coming home from another deployment and seeing a slick sleeve on his right shoulder. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're a major, maybe a lieutenant colonel. You've been in the military how many years now? All these other soldiers out there have gone to combat zones, have been away from their family, and you haven't? Where the hell have you been hiding this entire time? That's one of the guys in these phony Tester commercials. And that's what ticks me off, is it's like, because I respect all who served. I know Democrats who served, and I always thank them for their service, just like this guy, as recently as 2021, had never deployed, had never, 20 years of the war on terror, and this guy had never gone over there when everybody else was going over there. Young kids were going over there that served underneath him and still had to salute his ass and call him sir, and he never went over there? Oh, but you got the nerve to come out and attack a Navy SEAL who got the Bronze Star for valor and a Purple Heart when you never even went over there in Sacramento? Maybe he finally did. Maybe before he retired, he's like, okay, hey, sir, you finally have the chance to go serve your country overseas. Do you want to go do it? Maybe he finally got one tour in. I don't know, but that's what ticks me off.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there you go. There's nothing else you can say on top of that, man. That is true. But, you know, and I'm going to say, I've said this so many times, Aaron, and believe me, I've gotten more emails, more phone calls from mothers, Blue Star mothers, Gold Star mothers that say, you know, there's a veteran down here that needs help. And I've gone down there on the street, walked up to him, offered to help him, done all this kind of stuff. And I'm going to say this, just because you're a veteran and just because you serve doesn't make you a good person. And I just want all these, because I know these moms, their hearts are huge and they want to help everybody, but they're not all good people.
Yeah, well,
I'm telling you.
I mean, there's a, you know, and nobody's perfect. That's not what we're saying here, but there's, right. Yeah, there's some scam artists out there, that's for sure. All right, back in 60 seconds after this Fox News update, we'll get to Gary and Billings on the phone lines.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. The unstoppable President Joe Biden making clear he's staying in the presidential race at his NATO news conference and explaining the governor's report that he doesn't want to do events at night.
I always have an inclination, whether I was playing sports or doing politics, just to keep going, not stop. I just got to pace myself a little more.
But his support slipping. Three more House Democrats calling on him to withdraw from the race. That's 17. After Biden introduced Ukraine's president as President Putin and called Kamala Harris Vice President Trump. Donald Trump posting on Truth Social, "Great job, Joe." President Biden with a campaign rally in Detroit today. Butler County, Pennsylvania hosting a Trump rally Saturday ahead of next week's Republican National Convention. RNC Chair Laura Trump tells Fox, "We have a message America will want to hear." America is listening to Fox News.
All right, let's go to Gary in Billings on the phone lines. Gary, you wanted to weigh in on the big boy press conference yesterday. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron, Georgia. As I sat and watched this last night, I thought, this is our commander-in-chief that's leading us. But what was really odd is after the speech was over, the people on script showed a graph that Biden was ahead of Trump. They were almost even. But yet the Democrats wanted to get rid of him because he can't lead, so Script News is just really a terrible place to lie.
I did see there is some poll. I kind of just read it briefly, I think, in Politico's playbook, and then I threw it in the recycling bin already. But there is some poll out where they're claiming that Joe Biden is still neck and neck with Donald Trump. But anyway, speaking of but anyway here, Tim and Savage was live messaging us during the press conference yesterday. Tim and Savage says this was in the middle of the press conference. My goodness, this presser is painful. Anyway, I'm not joking. He said, you got to use the whisper voice. And then he says, is he going to appoint Trump as vice president?
Look, folks, this is in the next debate, I'm not going to be traveling in the 15 time zones a week before. Anyway, I'm catching hell from my wife for that. Anyway. It wasn't about just, anyway, read what his objective is. And anyway, but then again, they're better than a lot of other people here, too. But anyway.
Well, George, but anyway.
Well, nine times is how many times he says anyway in that whole process. Nine times.
Well, and we've all got our little throwaway lines. I mean, you know, but anyway. But what is obvious here is that he was losing his train of thought repeatedly.
Right. Right, and it's sad. I hate that that's happening to the guy. But anybody that's been around parents that have declined with dementia or whatever it is. And here's the other thing I heard about the other day. They said, well, he doesn't have Parkinson's. Well, no kidding, but you can still have dementia and not have Parkinson's. You can have dementia for a lot of reasons and a lot of causes that have nothing to do with Parkinson's. So the fact that they're hanging their hat on that one thing just shows they're deceiving you. And that's what they're doing. But I you know, as a person, I feel sorry for the guy because he's obviously he's coming to a milestone in his life, and it's not a good one, and it's sad.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter. He shouldn't be president.
His family is using him and abusing him so they can keep their grift going.
Oh,
and they can keep milking the system and
very possibly
the system. I mean, that seems obvious. Somebody asked a good question. Why is Hunter Biden in all these top level meetings? Does he have a security clearance? Look, like it or not, the president of the United States can give a security clearance to whoever he wants to, Hunter Biden included. Mike in Townsend up next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, George, this is pretty cool. So I run down the hall to go fill up my cup of coffee during the break there, and all of a sudden I hear this, like, I'm like, is there a bird on the window, or is somebody doing construction at 7:35 in the morning? And then I'm like, no, somebody's banging on the front door. So I thought, well, maybe our front door little ringer isn't working, but it was working. It's just, you know, we're a little busy here. There's only a few of us that are in this early in the morning. Open up the door. I was like, who are you? And then I'm like, well, that's Major Dan Miller. He's like a radio legend. I was like, man, I got to bring him in here one of these days.
Yeah, that would be cool. You talk about a lot of experience and a lot of stories.
Old school and history and just back in the day when, you know, talk radio, we still get to have fun on the radio, but for a lot of people, radio isn't just what it used to be, you know, because they don't get a lot of the live back and forth and the, you know, the phone calls and things like that. So it's, you know, and so we still get to do that on talk radio.
Yeah,
so,
true. Well, you know, I got a short thing on history. Since you're talking about history.
Can you hold that for just one second?
Sure can, yeah.
Okay, because I promised Mike in Townsend we'd get to him next.
That's right.
I think he's got a little history for us, too. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just, am I on?
You are.
Cool. Hollywood, told us what the Democrats are all about. Look at, gangs of New York, they tell you how they vote. They sit there and give them drinks to go vote, and then go shave their heads and their faces, and then go vote again.
Interesting.
Hollywood told us what they do.
I haven't watched Gangs of New York in probably a couple of decades now. Now I kind of want to go back and watch it.
No, there's a little segment on voting in there.
That's interesting because I wonder if more and more people are now standing up to the gang leaders, standing up to the gang bosses. You know, I think about some of these union bosses, for example, and the younger union workers in particular, and more of the, you know, middle-aged union workers, they're bucking the union bosses. They're bucking the gang leaders and toppling them in some instances, or just saying, I know you guys are lining your pockets by telling us to vote for Democrats, but you're killing union jobs. We're not putting up with it anymore. We see that more and more happening. I don't know. Did you ever watch Gangs in New York?
I saw it way back.
I was going to say, it's been a long time since I've seen it. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. As long as there's a law against something, there will be somebody trying to skirt that law or get around it. And it happens. In today's age, I was in Kentucky one year. This was not all that long ago, 2012 or 13, somewhere back there. And I'm driving around and I see these billboards for politicians that say, come to this picnic, live music, free food, free beer. And I'm like, well, that's electioneering, obviously and blatantly. And I turned to the guy that was from Kentucky and I said, do they all do this? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, and believe me, people vote for those people. Whoever throws the biggest party with the best band and the best barbecue are the ones that are going to get the votes. And that's against the law in most places. You can't do that.
Depending on it, well, it's happening to a certain extent here in Montana. We've had, you know, the Western Native Voice is a, you know, dark money group funded by a white liberal, of course. Mm-hmm. So a non-native is the one funding the Western Native Voice. And so basically you've got a wealthy white liberal like George Soros supporting the Democrat Party, which is supporting policies which is harmful to Native Americans. But because wealthy white liberal George Soros, he's going out there buying dinners and, you know, and get out the vote effort some more.
Exactly. You know, I wish they'd change his name from George to something else. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
You got George Washington, George Soros. Yeah, I don't like it. Doesn't fit.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Next up. Oh, what's your history story before I get to the next caller?
Just because I know there are a lot of listeners and a lot of people in Montana that are just crazy history buffs. And you've had a bunch of them on your show that have written books and things. And so there's a program out there. And this is from military.com. The National Archives needs your help transcribing Revolutionary War records. So they have all these records that are difficult to transcribe because these things are written by hand and cursive, which kids today can't read, right? And so they need people's help to go through all of these thousands of documents and transcribe them. And there's a lot of information that they think they can learn from this. But if you're a history buff and you're into that type of thing, the National Park Service and the National Archives and Records Administration are asking you to join them in transcribing more than 83,000 records from the Revolutionary War. So if that's your type of thing, you can go to, let's see, the National Park Service's Guide for the Curious. And you can also go to the NARA Citizen Archivist on National Archives website. So go to the National Archives website or to the National Park Service Guide for the Curious and sign up. And you can be probably a part of somebody that finds something new out about our history.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You could be retired, and if inflation didn't force you into going back to work, but you just like thinking, man, I just want to spend a couple hours a day doing something.
There you go.
How cool would that be?
That would be cool.
And imagine what you could unearth or just learn in the process. And
exactly.
Yeah, stories of faith. Back when we stood up to tyranny and stood up for liberty and. And there was not really much such a thing as a hot shower every morning. And, you know, the bare necessities that we're so used to having here in modern day America that many parts of the world still don't have.
Right. Exactly. And you might find something out about your own family. I mean, who knows what you can unearth here? That's a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Very cool. And there's like Daughters of the American Revolution chapters across the state. I could see them taking something like that on, or even like the American Legion Auxiliaries, like Tim and Savage is a part of, etc. All right, next up on the phone lines, Freedom Friday, 406-294-0970. She goes by the name on Twitter, Tester Will Not Be Elected, calling in from Eastern Montana. And by the way, she's been sharing some great information that I haven't been able to see in any of the local news outlets, and I'll see it first from her via Twitter every now and then. So great to hear from you.
Hi, Aaron and George, and happy Freedom Friday. It's good to know that me sitting on social media for hours on end actually pays off a little bit there, Aaron. But I wanted to add to what you were saying about how Tester ran from that reporter at the airport. So let's back up even 2 or 3 days. 3 days ago, he was at the bar drinking vodkas and cranberries, which, whatever, we all have hard days. We need to sit back. Okay, cool.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a pink drink or even a Prius, unless you pretend to be the opposite.
Good for him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What was very telling was the 2 days after that. So what happened was that Laura Loomer went to Capitol Hill to ask questions, to ask Senator Tester questions. And she, for people that don't know, is a conservative friend journalist of everybody's, and she was there to ask Tester questions. So after the day after his cranberry and vodkas, he failed to show up for the Senate Indian Affairs Committee. That was the first blunder, okay?
Wait, he didn't show up for that one either?
He didn't show up for that. No, like, come on, you're at a powwow. Let's represent Montana natives. Let's do this, right? No, he didn't show up for that.
Wow.
The second one he didn't show up for was the Senate hearing on banking, housing, and urban affairs, which
I saw that
the
one,
last
yeah.
time I checked, Montana had a housing crisis, right? So it's just important to report to your listeners what we are watching in real time, how Tester has managed to situate himself on the most powerful Senate committees while managing to dodge press and questions when they might reflect poorly on him. So I just wanted to say that live to your audience that, you know, we're not going to give up. It is working. The pressure's on Tester, and we will retire Tester in November.
Yeah, no, well said. And once again, new information. I had seen the Laura Loomer connection. I knew that Tester failed to show up for the, you know, the Banking, Housing, Urban Affairs Committee. But George, I didn't know that he failed to show up for the Indian Affairs Committee as well. I mean, boy, he sure, you know, expects Native Americans to vote for him, even though his policies are very harmful. And then he can't even show up for the Indian Affairs Committee. But so why would you vote for the guy? He won't even show up and represent you. His policies are just harmful.
Well, that's true. And you know what? I've got a great story that goes right along with this type of stuff. So one time I was asked to introduce him at a stop here in Billings. He was speaking at a brewery, kind of a little, I don't know, campaign stop type of thing. It really wasn't a campaign because I wouldn't have done that. But they asked me to introduce him, and I had an interaction with him that I want to tell you about after the break.
Oh, really?
And this is a first-person real story. So,
and this was before you had ever even said anything publicly, politically, really. You
right.
were just a veteran serving your fellow veterans in the American
exactly.
Legion, and that's what you were known for. Nothing political at all whatsoever. Okay, well, what a great teaser. We're back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Samsung, Expedia, and Sephora. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Fox News commentary.
While some establishment Democrats want Joe out, the radical members of the squad have his back. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. It's a confusing phenomenon. While more establishment Democrat types like James Carville and David Axelrod and at least six House Democrats have called for Joe to drop out, members of the super radical squad have Joe's back. When asked by reporters, both Reps AOC and Cori Bush signaled they are behind Joe Biden's reelection effort. Why the heck would the most radical members of the party stand behind Joe Biden? Why wouldn't they push for the first female black president, Kamala Harris? Why is the squad going to the mat for Joe? Think back to the Democrat primary ahead of 2020. It was the moderate Democrats that got Joe across the finish line. Far leftists have been routinely shafted by the establishment, most notably in the case of Bernie Sanders and the Bernie Bros. So why are they now circling their wagons around Joe Biden while the moderates want him out? Interesting. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com/try.
That's JABRAEnhance.com/try. JabraEnhance.com/try.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, Tim and Billings and the Joker, John Jackson, if we need a movie reference, they can fill us in here. So Tim and Billings says this on the Montana Talks app. The caller talking about gangs of New York, absolutely correct. It's talking about how they would take drunk homeless people, have them vote for Boss Tweed, who ran New York, cut their hair, have them vote again, then shave them, have them vote a third time. Boss Tweed with notorious election interference, voter fraud, and any other type of corruption that could be imagined. So anyway, there's a little bit more
where
of an
there's a will, there's a way.
There you go.
So this John Tester story. So I introduced him. It was at a brewery, and he was just talking to anybody that wanted to show up there and listen to him. And I wasn't campaigning for him, just introduced him. And after the event, that's what it was, after, I went up to him and I said, hey, Senator. And he shook my hand, smiled, called me by name. George, how are you? Good to see you. You know, all this. And I said, hey, I've got a concern I really would like to talk to you about. And he looks at me and I said, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I said, here's what's going on. This is the deal. And I think we really need to pay attention to this. I started to tell him about it. He got that cross look on his face that he didn't want to hear it. And he didn't want to talk to me after he just smiled at me, shook my hand, called me by name. And he looked at his assistant there and goes, yeah, just listen to George and get that from him and just write that down. And he blew me off and walked off. He didn't want to hear about it. He could have. It was important. And he could have heard it straight from somebody that knew. He could have at least feigned interest, but he didn't.
So
not at all.
You saw in real time how he can go from putting on this nice phony act, I'm just a nice farmer, to all of a sudden now he's the arrogant pink drink Prius driving, you know, Washington fat cat sitting at a bar on Capitol Hill. Could care less about what we have to say here.
Yeah, it's like, get George's name and number there. And I'm like, you already have my number. You called me to introduce you. You know, I'm like, okay. But that's when I knew he didn't really care about veterans' issues. You know, he just uses veterans as a tool to try and get reelected. He doesn't care about veterans. Give me a break. The guy, every time he has an opportunity to listen to somebody about a real issue, he blows them off.
Yeah. Well, he's just a straight up phony. And look, here's the deal. He wants veterans to have problems at the VA, so they have to come beg him for help.
Yes.
But here's the deal. He's chairman of the Senate VA committee. They shouldn't be having these problems in the first place. But he wants you to have to come beg him for help. So that's why he creates the problems and why he's made the VA worse under his tenure. It was moving in the right direction under Trump. And then he and Biden come in and start undermining the Mission Act because he wants you to come beg him for help. So then he can beg you to be in one of his campaign commercials 6 years later.
Yeah, exactly. And if anybody doesn't remember, the Mission Act was the one that helped veterans get care in the community. So if you live too far away or they couldn't get you an appointment in a set amount of time, you could go in the community and get the care. And then the PACT Act is the one where if you were affected by burn pits and things like that in the military, that's what that addressed. But he's always undermined care in the community. He'll stand up and take credit for it and say, hey, I did this for you. But in the background, he's fighting that the whole
undermining
way.
Undermining it every step of the way, every single step of the way, straight up phony. And I don't know. I get kind of embarrassed because people are so nice and they're always saying, oh, Aaron, thanks for your service. And I know what they really mean is they're thanking all who have served. They're thanking all of our listeners. So folks, you don't have to keep thanking me. Please just thank all who've served because man, it's like I'm proud to be a veteran, but man, there's so many people that can run circles around me. sacrificed a lot more than me. So,
well, that's well said. But I also want to tell these young military members out there and young veterans, you better take that smiling and thank. Just be thankful they're thanking you.
And don't say, well, I haven't done anything. You wearing that uniform, you training, you being ready, that is doing something. Peace through strength. So keep doing what you're doing. And
Amen.
Thanks for what you're doing, even if you don't think you've done anything yet, because you are doing something.